Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. We're going to begin at Exodus chapter 1, and we're going to hit a few chapters in this book. And the title of this message is The Passover. The date that this program airs, everybody refers to it as Easter Sunday. I would like to preach on not Easter, but the Passover, which is the Jewish holiday, and also a very wonderful picture from Scripture of how Jesus Christ delivered us from sin. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, I ask, as always, that you would help me to somehow reach the people that are listening. You called Moses, and he went, and he had a couple of excuses, but he went, and he was able to reach the people that he was sent to. And Lord, just like Moses, I pray that you would help me to reach the people listening today. I have the same message that Moses had, that Jesus Christ can deliver from sin. Lord, help the people today. As I open the Word of God, help them to understand it. Lord, give them understanding. Lord, we ask and we thank you, Lord, that the people would see Jesus Christ. And in His wonderful name we pray. Amen. Today, as the program airs, everyone knows that it's Easter. The word Easter is only mentioned one time by Paul in the New Testament. I believe it's in Acts, but it definitely talks about his journeys. He said that he had hoped to be in one place by Easter. That was in deference to King James of England. They had to satisfy him, the translators did. The Greek word is not Easter. The Greek word is Passover. And I know I'm not going to change people's minds. I know that I'm not going to change the name of a holiday. But the Christians, honestly, on Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection. I know that we don't have very much to do with the Jewish customs in the church these days. But I believe it's important to understand the Jewish customs, specifically this one holiday, the holiday of Passover. Everyone's seen the movie that was made in the 50s. Everybody knows that roughly the story of how God sent Moses. God called Moses. God protected Moses. He was born as a little baby, and he escaped being killed. And later, God called him and sent him to the land of Egypt to deliver the children of Israel. This message is a picture. There's a lot of symbolism here. We use the word type, that Moses was a type of Christ. I enjoy very much the study of types. It's called typology. I once taught it in a Bible college here, actually on the West Bank, for one semester. The study of types. But a type, the most common definition of type, is something in the Old Testament that foreshadows something in the New Testament. And the greatest example of that is when God sent Moses to the land of Egypt to deliver God's people Israel. This is a foreshadowing of what Jesus Christ did when God sent His Son Jesus here on the earth to deliver God's people. Honestly, not just the Jews, but salvation is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. We should go to the whole earth to preach this gospel. But God sent His Son here on earth, and He made it possible that we could be forgiven of our sins, that our sins could be washed away. God delivered us from Satan and eventual hell and damnation through His Son. And that message, like I said, that's what Christians preach. That message of salvation and deliverance is preached practically on every page of the Old Testament. In every book of the Old Testament, it mentions Christ. It mentions what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. You say, well, I don't really see that, preacher. I don't understand what you mean. Well, I'm going to stand by what I said, that every book of the Old Testament pictures Jesus Christ. But specifically in the book of Exodus, it shows, I don't know how you could get any plainer. The pictures of the Old Testament, you can't get any plainer than the story of Exodus. And again, everybody's seen the movie. You might have heard a sermon, or will hear a sermon today on Resurrection Sunday about the Passover. But I'd like to go through it one more time. He starts off in Exodus chapter 1. In verse 8 it says, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto the people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also to our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land." Now they were slaves, and that was a financial benefit to the Egyptians. But you see, Satan has us in bondage. Satan has every one of us on planet Earth before we come to Christ. Satan has us in bondage, bondage to sin. In the book of Exodus, again, the Old Testament is full of pictures. The king of Egypt, Pharaoh, is a picture or a type of or a foreshadowing of or an image of Satan. Egypt is a symbol of the world system. God's people, obviously, the Jews, are held as slaves and captives in the land of Egypt. And there's a taskmaster. It says in here in verse 11, "Wherefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities." Everyone knows about the different archaeological things that they'll find in the land of Egypt. Everybody knows about the pyramids. Here in New Orleans back in, what was it, the 70s or whenever, they had the exhibit of King Tut. That was one of the pharaohs. I don't know exactly which of the monuments to Pharaoh that the Jews built, but I know it says right here in verse 11 of chapter 1 of Exodus that the Jews, as slaves in Egypt, they built, if it was a pyramid, I don't know exactly what it was that they built, but they did build these things that when they go over to Egypt and dig up, these things were built by Jews. God's chosen people. This is the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the people that God called out of the whole earth that He would put His name on. And God's people find themselves in Egypt, in the world, being ruled by someone that is a symbol of Satan. And they're slaves, and they're building all of these monuments. Let's jump over to chapter 3. And this is when God begins to speak to Moses. "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction." This is chapter 3, verse 7. "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows." You see, God knows everything. Didn't Jesus say that God sees every sparrow that falls out of a tree and dies? How much more does He care for His people? And He says that we are worth more than many sparrows. And think about that. We are worth more than everything else in the whole world. That Jesus Christ came to give His life for us. That's a wonderful picture of God's love for us. Look at verse 8, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians." I am come down, he says. In one part in the Psalms, David said, Lord, bow the heavens and come down. That's wonderful because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down to be here on earth, to dwell with men. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, to the land of the Canaanites, and etc. So God sees. Maybe today you're listening and you don't know God, but God cares for you, that He sent His Son down here to die for you, so that you could be delivered of your sins, that you could be forgiven of your sins. And that is the message that the book of Exodus talks about. Verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Flip over to chapter 11. Now we know that there were 10 plagues. When Moses stood before Pharaoh, he said, let my people go. And that's what God does. That's what God does. He says to Satan, let my people go. And the devil will fight tooth and nail because he doesn't want anyone to go to heaven. But the power of God is able to change a person. The power of God is, you say that, preacher, I'm on drugs and I can't get out of drugs. You say, preacher, you know, I'm over here in jail. I'm in central lockup and I'm listening to this radio station. What can God do for me? God is able to deliver you. If you're on drugs, He can set you free. I know He set me free. He delivered me. God changed me, and God can change you. God can help you right where you are. If you're in jail sitting there, God can touch you. God can reach you. Now, I don't know about getting you out of the prison that you're in, but I know that God can change your life. He can set you free. I don't know what caused you to get put in jail. I don't know what they charged you or convicted you of. But I'm telling you that God can forgive every sin. All of those things that you did, God can forgive you. He can wash you. He can make you anew. And God says that He'll treat it as if you've never done these things, because there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness in God. You can be forgiven. You can be delivered. You can be set free. Again, I don't know. You may have to stay there another 20 years. I don't know. But God can do something in your heart. He said to preach deliverance to the captives. And that is the message of the Bible, that you can be forgiven. You can be set free. But we know that there were 10 plagues. All 9 of the plagues before this chapter here in 11, all 9 of the plagues, if it was the frogs, if it was the flies, if it was the Nile turning into blood, none of these plagues were able to deliver the children of Israel. They were great plagues. All of the people of Egypt were afraid. Pharaoh was afraid. Pharaoh's counselors were afraid. All of the Egyptians asked Pharaoh, please get these people out of here. We're tired of these plagues. But none of those plagues were able to bring deliverance. It was only the last plague, the 10th plague, that affected deliverance. Now, I'd like to say that all of the different plagues, there were essentially 10 classes of different gods in Egypt. And all of the plagues were God's judgments against all of the different gods. The Nile, they thought of the Nile River as a god, and that mankind sprang from and crawled up out of the Nile. And I don't know, evolution, I don't want to get into any of that, but they believe that life started in the Nile. When the Nile River turned into blood, that was God's judgment against the Nile. But this last plague, we know that that was the death angel that came. We know that the death angel came, and all of the firstborn in all of the land of Egypt, we know that all the firstborn died. Pharaoh's son died. Pharaoh's cousin's nephew's daughter died. Or whoever it was, the firstborn of every creature, both man and beast. The first cow, if it was a sheep, if it was a dog, it doesn't matter. Cat, it doesn't matter. The firstborn of every animal and the firstborn of every family died. This was a plague that God sent. We know that God sent the frogs. We know that God sent the flies. But God also sent the death angel. You see, if you're not in Christ, we say, if you're not a Christian, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you're not born again, if you don't know the Lord, then your end is death. Now, I'm going to die. Everyone's going to die. Every person on planet Earth is going to die. We're all going to get old and die. Maybe some will die younger from disease or maybe a car accident or whatever. But every person's life ends. And not only that, if you are not a Christian, if your sins are not forgiven, when you die, then comes the judgment. And it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And no man escapes judgment. And if you're found wanting, if your sins are not forgiven, the Bible says, and you can read it, the Bible says that all sinners have their part in the lake of fire. If you're not saved, and nobody likes to hear the phrase, you're going to hell. Nobody likes to hear that. But the Bible does say that if you're not a Christian, your eternal abode, your end, is hell, a place of torment. But again, I said that all of the plagues were God's judgment against one of the different gods of Egypt. And one of the curses of this world is death. And like I said, everyone dies. But this last plague was a judgment against death. The Bible says that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. The Bible also says that if you'll give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you can be born again. And that when you finally die, old age or however you go, you're instantly going to be transported into heaven. You can go to heaven. You can be delivered. You can be set free. Your sins can be forgotten, God says. As far as the east is from the west, your sins can be separated from you, and you can go to heaven when you die, instead of hell, which if you're not saved, that's where every person that's not saved on planet Earth, that's where they go. But you can be forgiven, and you can go to heaven. You can walk on streets of gold. You can have what the Bible talks about. You can have what the Christians that you know, you can have what they have. But we read here in chapter 12 of Exodus. Look here at Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, in the 10th day of the month they shall take unto them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And it says in verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. But look at verse 6. And ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Verse 7. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. Now, again, I said that this is symbolic. Honestly, the whole Old Testament, there's symbolism everywhere you look that points to Christ. But this is symbolic. It says that they were going to take a lamb for a house, and that they would kill it in the evening. And that it would take the blood, they would capture the blood in some kind of bowl or basin. They would take the blood, and then they would put it on the doorpost and on the top, the lintel. At the bottom of the door is the threshold, at the top of the door is the lintel. And at midnight when the death angel came, that the death angel would see the blood that was on the door, and these were Jews inside of each house, that the death angel would come, and he would want to come into the house to kill the firstborn. But he would see the blood from the lamb that was killed or slain. He would see the blood, and he would pass over that house and go to the next. That's where we get the term Passover. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Your sins can be forgiven. All of the evil that you've done, all of the evil that I have done in my lifetime, we can be forgiven of our sins. God will graciously forgive us. He'll run to us and give us aid when we need it. But God's forgiveness is freely given, but it was not freely obtained. Everything that God has, He'll give to us. That's God's grace. The meaning of grace, the definition of grace, is God's unmerited favor. But it cost something. It cost something for God to be able to forgive you and me. If you're a murderer, if you're a gangbanger, whatever, God can forgive you. If you're an adulterer, if you stole from Walmart, whatever, God can forgive you. And He'll gladly do so. But that forgiveness cost God the life of His own Son. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is pictured here. What we're reading here probably happened 4,500 years ago. But it was a foreshadowing, a picture, a foreshadowing, a prophecy, if you will, of what Jesus Christ would accomplish. We know that Jesus, He was a perfect man, He was a great man, He was a wonderful man, He healed the sick, He raised the dead, He did all of these things, He spoke wonderful messages, wonderful sermons, He forgave people, but He also had to bear His cross, and He was crucified. He was nailed to a cross and crucified, and He hung and He died, and His blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, was shed as payment for the penalty for your sin. You can be forgiven. You can go free. When you get to the end of your life and you die, you close your eyes and the next minute open them, you can be in heaven. You can be with God. You can be with the angels. But it cost God the life of His Son to bring you that salvation. I want you to think about that today. You can read it here in Exodus. You can read it in the Gospels. You can read it in other places. But the message of the Passover is that God will see the blood of Jesus that you have applied to your heart by faith. You've applied to your life. You said, "Lord, I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that He shed His blood for my sins. Lord, please forgive me," and God will hear your prayer, and God will answer your prayer, and God will forgive you of whatever sin you've committed. God can forgive. God will forgive. But the only way to achieve forgiveness, the only way to go to heaven when you die, is to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.